Okay, now are you ready?
I'm ready now.
Okay, you know what's going to happen right now, don't you?
Song time.
You know what song, though.
Oh boy, no I don't.
Just wait. All I want to get is a little bit closer. All I want to know is, can you come a little closer? That's just a great song.
But I have no idea what that was.
Oh, get out of here. Are you serious?
I'm sorry, I don't.
I don't know if that's bad for you or bad for me.
It's bad for everyone. It's bad for the world.
That's Tegan and Sarah's new single, Closer.
Oh, okay. I didn't know they had an electronic beat on their new stuff.
Oh, dude, that's just all about them. That's why they're getting some haters right now.
That's your stuff. That's your jam.
That's my damn jam, dude. You make some indie pop sensations that are identical twin lesbian sisters that are pretty hot. Then you just add some pop music to it, you know, or like the beats, I mean, and that's just gold.
Makes a hit record.
That's just gold, man. Okay. Anyway, well, let's get this started, shall we?
Yeah.
All right. Welcome, you bozos. This is Ballin' with Bozos. I'm Gavin. I'm talking to Brian, a.k.a. Endo. Yep. And let's get this started. I was going to mention, we talked about this before, you've got a bunch of stuff to talk about, and I've been bad about keeping up with the news, so I'm going to lean on you, buddy. This is all you.
I like the theme of I'm the angry one because I always have something to rant about, but it's true. I do.
No, that's perfect. That's the way to do it. That's the only way to do it.
I know. It's perfect for us. Anyway, we talk a lot on this little podcast of ours about fake tough guys.
Yes.
So I'd like to announce that I found a coach for the fake tough guy team. And that would be Mark Jackson from your Golden State Warriors. He's fake tough guy head coach.
Yes.
after Tuesday night's game, I have the direct quote in front of me. He said, and I quote, "I'm an old school basketball player and an old school coach. If you can't appreciate it, that's on you. We're not going to lay down. If you're going to try to get the record, we're going to stop it." And of course, this is in reference to the Warriors losing by 31 points, in which Houston tied the all-time record for most three-pointers made in a game.
I love it.
I'm just so livid after that game.
Yeah, I bet. They were just bombing threes. I didn't see it. I just heard about it. I only heard about it, actually, because of Mark Jackson's quote.
And you know, he's good at making his quotes be known.
Well, everyone was talking about, like, I just remember, like, everyone was saying, like, why are the Warriors fouling? I kind of get it, though. A little bit. That would just be, like, a punch to the gut, you know? You've already lost by a lot. Than to have some stupid record broken where you know everyone's going to be talking about it.
Do you know who the guys bombing threes were for Houston were?
Harden? Was it Lynn?
No, I'm talking about in the final 6 minutes of the fourth. The game was at hand.
Who?
The all-time great Patrick Beverly.
Who?
Was the one who really drew the ire of the Warriors.
Patrick Beverly?
Yeah, yeah. Tell me all you know about Patrick Beverly.
here's one thing I know about him. He has a very, very cool name. He sounds like somebody from like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or something.
Or he could have been a backup baller for like an AC Slater led Bayside High team.
Oh, for sure. That's another good one. I like that.
Here's the whole thing is I don't think he's a D-League player. He's a replacement league player, you know?
Okay.
And so he goes out there and he, you know, he bombs a three and I think he made his first attempt was what happened. And then he made a steal on D and went down and dunked and celebrated a little more than the Warriors would have liked.
Right.
That's when Draymond came in and hit him with the ejection foul. A little sign action. And that's when Mark Jackson said, you know, don't let him get that shit, I think is what his exact words were.
Oh, gotcha.
So here's where I've got a rant. Number one, the Warriors bench, Kent Bazemore, one of my favorite players actually on this current Warriors team, is most known for his great celebrations on the sidelines of the Warriors bench for Harrison Barnes' dunks, and for Blake Griffin's poor shooting in a few of the Warriors-Clippers games.
Mm-hmm.
And this has, like, made the rounds on the blogs and stuff, like the score, TBJ guys, and Ball Don't Live hit it up and stuff. So it's great when the Warriors, you know, are able to dance and show up other teams. But if, you know, they're getting beat by 30 points and some guy wants to celebrate in their face, it's not cool.
Yeah.
Second of all, Mark Jackson saying he's an old school coach cracks me up.
Yeah. Go. I indulge that thought.
Really cracked the 100 game mark as an NBA head coach, and you know the coach of the Houston Rockets is Kevin McHale.
Yeah, not old school at all.
I don't think you can imagine old school without Kevin McHale. Like he's the most old school person out there.
That's awesome. Mickey agrees.
Oh man, yeah, he's going nuts out there.
I like it. This is perfect. Dude, you know what? This is better than a drop, actually.
the dog barking when I'm ranting about
whatever. You can hear the clicks on our mouses. You can hear everything in this. I'm good with it. I love it.
My favorite sound effect while we're recording is the ice against the glass.
Ooh, like this? yeah. Oh god, sorry. I just totally sidetracked us there. But I do have a question for you. So I knew that would really grind your gears about what Mark Jackson said. I just knew it was going to bother you because your whole thing with him was about him talking about how he wanted a head coaching job, but he'd never been an assistant coach. So he just became a broadcast guy with Jeff Van Gundy and Mike Breen and then just wanted to go straight into head coaching. But here's one thing I've thought about is I'm wondering if he might be kind of in the same mold as Doc Rivers.
That's the best comparison because that was the exact – he's the only – I think the only coach – going right now who had no coaching experience and only TV experience before becoming a head coach.
Yeah, and the funny thing is Doc Rivers, it's really weird how they mirror each other because Doc Rivers got destroyed his first couple of years because they had a young team, they weren't winning, but then all of a sudden when they started getting good, players really back him because he backs his players. Like he's ridiculous in how much he backs his players.
Right.
Like, it's so dumb. Like, Rondo will, like, clothesline somebody, and then he'll be like, I don't think there's anything wrong with what he did. And he just publicly backs him. And he's, like, such a player's coach that people, and he'll argue with anyone standing up for his guys. And it's gotten to the point where people, like, it's turned where he's not this bad coach that everyone thought. That now everyone thinks he's a great coach. Who knows? But he is good enough where people are talking about how he might replace Mike Krzyzewski as the Team USA coach. Did you hear that?
No, I did not, actually.
So Krzyzewski stepped down for Team USA. Like, he's done. He's redeemed the program and all that stuff. And so they're talking about who might be the next one, and Doc Rivers is one of the big names, which is crazy to think of where he was a few years ago pre-KG
right.
to now. And so then
go ahead.
Oh, and so I was just thinking the same sort of thing, is that when I watch Mark Jackson, sometimes I think he's a knucklehead, but he's being a knucklehead for the right reasons. Like, he's standing up for his guys. He's being irrational, but it's making him look good for people will want to play for him, you know? Does that make sense?
No, it makes 100% sense, and you're absolutely right. Mark Jackson is completely well-intentioned, you know? He, you know, obviously he's not out there to, you know, be a knucklehead. He just comes off as a knucklehead. But the players absolutely love him. Like, they eat him up.
Oh, for sure.
And that's a good thing because, you know, and like for the most part, any head coach in any sport, like, you got to manage the personalities more than anything, which is what Doc Rivers was good at.
Right.
And what Mark Jackson is good at. You know, he, as former players, they understand the life. They, you know, they're both, you know, even today, Doc Rivers is still fairly, maybe not fairly young, but he's not that old. You know, he's not ancient for an NBA coach. And Mark Jackson, obviously, fairly close to, you know, some of the age of some of the older dudes.
Right.
But the thing is just kind of a funny parallel between another parallel between Rivers and Mark Jackson is so obviously Doc Rivers, you know, magically became a great head coach when, you know, KG and Ray Allen joined the team. But
yeah, that would happen.
But But the point is that he is a great manager of personalities and got those guys to buy in and play for him. But the parallel is between the Rivers and Jackson currently, or Jackson currently and Rivers in the past, is great assistant coaches. Doc Rivers with Tom Thibodeau was, I mean, that was a moneymaker. And you can see Thibodeau, what he's done with the Bulls in the short time he's been there. Like,
yeah.
Thibodeau, one of the smartest basketball minds in the NBA. And Mark Jackson's got Mike Malone. Will be NBA head coach next year. I'm pretty sure that the Phoenix Suns will drop all to make sure that he becomes their head coach.
Mm-hmm.
If not there, then somewhere else. I think Mike Malone, a lot of the reason the defense of the Warriors is so improved is a lot of the game planning and X's and O's strategy that Malone has brought in.
Yeah, for sure.
So it'll be interesting to see if and when Malone leaves what happens with Mark Jackson's coach, but Your point is correct that as a manager of men and of personalities, Mark Jackson gets it. He's good at it.
Yeah, it's funny because there's that theory where like you don't necessarily have to be the best at it. You just have to be good at leading and delegating.
Yeah,
and so they're good at that. So I guess the jury's still out a little bit on Mark Jackson. I'm not going to take away from the fact that he says some hilarious things. I'm going to relish every time he says something about being an old school coach, just to kind of throw it back at you because I love it. It's great.
Yeah. Please do.
But another
10 minutes about that stuff.
Oh my god! But so Mike Malone too. Blazers passed him up as head coach, and I was pissed, like livid. Like, they interviewed him, and I don't know how far down they got, but the news was that he was, that they weren't going to get him or whatever, and I was just pissed. Why don't you just go after him? But whatever. They got Terry Stotts instead.
I'm going to use that as a transition to talk about the Blazers.
Please do.
I kind of like Terry Stotts, I'm not going to lie.
I like him too. I have a problem with how much he plays as starters.
You know what? You read my mind because I was gonna cite some stats here.
Oh yes, go.
So I spent the other night just going off on Basketball Reference and looking at their on off stats, and the Blazers is shocking to me. So obviously, you know, the starting five for the Blazers is the reason why they're hanging in there.
Yeah.
Of available minutes for the entire season, from, you know, tip off of opening day to, you know, the final buzzer of the Blazers' last game, Lillard's played 79% of the available minutes, Batum 78, LaMarcus 75, Wesley West 63, J.J. Hickson 60.
Yeah.
I think I asked you the other night, like, you know who the sixth man in terms of minutes played on the Blazers is?
Is it Myers Leonard?
Myers Leonard. And he's played 24% of the available minutes.
That's a big drop-off.
Just a little bit, and the thing is, I don't really blame the Blazers for not playing their bench. Their bench is horrible.
Their bench is awful. It's really bad. I mean, they have moments with Will Barton or somebody like that, but he's just like a volume shooter, you know? He's not going to be anything whatever. I like him as a player. He shouldn't be your sixth man. Myers Leonard makes sense to be getting most of the minutes because they're trying to develop him. I would be curious to see in the past few weeks, because he's been injured and they're just trying to work him back in now. If you look, because they were early in the year, they were playing him more, and now he's kind of, you know, 6-7 minutes, maybe 8, something like that a night. And so it'd be interesting to see those splits now, like the percentages and stuff. But it's funny because they want to develop Myers Leonard because J.J. Hickson right now is playing center.
Right.
J.J. Hickson will be gone most likely next year, and then either through trade or leave as a free agent because he's going to earn himself a contract. And then they're going to want Myers Leonard to be the starter alongside LaMarcus Aldridge. And here's a beef I have, and I want to get your take on this. You have pointed out that LaMarcus Aldridge's shooting stats from 16 and out, it's not too great. Is that right? He's like 38.
Off about it, his shooting percentages from that mid range to long range twos have been the worst of his career.
Here's the thing: part of the reason why I think they got Terry Stotts too is that everyone says that LaMarcus Aldridge is a good outside shooter. There's a difference between good and capable, you know? So like he it doesn't look like he has a good looking shot, and I mean those are gonna fall. But I mentioned this to you before, is, and I don't know if I've mentioned this on the pod before, but his best years were when he was with Marcus Camby, right?
Yeah, no, you did mention this on the pod, and it's good stuff.
Yeah, so my whole thing is, like, they wouldn't try to get Roy Hibbert, now they've got Myers Leonard, and everyone's shitting on Myers Leonard when he tries to take jump shots and stuff. They want him to go in the post and be, like, that anchor, so they can let LaMarcus roam free or whatever, you know? It's like, no, isn't it supposed to be, the opposite? like, put LaMarcus down there where he's really effective, but then have another guy who's able to kind of stretch things out, or at least is versatile enough where you have to respect it when he goes up to the top of the key. You know? So
I agree. And so I've been harping you the last few days, no pun intended, because Zach Harper wrote a good post about LaMarcus Aldridge and his offense, how he's fairly unstoppable because he's so good at finishing around the rim.
Yeah.
Is just, you know, pretty fairly unstoppable when he actually gets there. But he actually, you know, for being a jump shooting big guy, is undesirable as that is, he's really good at it.
So. Oh yeah, for sure.
But no, you're right. Like, you don't, with a guy like LaMarcus, who's just so offensively talented, you don't really want, you know, needing another big guy down there in the post. Like,
yeah.
And the few times that Bogut's played with David Lee for the Warriors, as you can see, like, you know, Lee, you know, neither of those guys are real, you know, dominant low post, you know, back to the basket scorers, but they're both talented passers and, you know, decent enough players, you know, jump shooting, passing and stuff like that, that when they run those high low plays, like, you want the center to be able to dump it down low to the four, like, and if you had a like, you know, like him, you could do with LaMarcus, like,
right,
you don't need Shaq in there with LaMarcus, that's just, you know, clogging a shit up.
yeah, no, that's not good. Then you're justifying why he should be going out and shooting 22 foot jumpers, which is the worst shot in the game. I hate it when people take 22 foot jumpers.
My Mike Fratello agrees.
Does he say that? Do I agree with Mike Fratello?
No, he's always said he hated those long shots.
Oh, damn it. I hate it when I agree with, like, old dog announcers.
I like Fratello, though. He's just an old Italian curmudgeon.
The Czar.
by the way, you know how we got that nickname?
No.
So it was when him and Marv Albert worked for MSG or whatever the New York network was. And they're just that big of bozos that whenever Mike Fratello would draw on the Telestrator,
mm-hmm.
Marv Albert, Mike Fratello, the czar of the Telestrator.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah. It has nothing to do with coaching or basketball or anything. He's the czar of the Telestrator.
Oh, my God. That's a good way to – that's better than I thought, though. This is perfect. I love it.
There could have been a much dirtier undertone with Marv Albert and Mike Fratello in a story, but there's not.
Oh, yeah. That for sure. Well, I have a let's see. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Have you heard the news about a possible trade with Carlos Boozer and Andrea Bargnani?
I have not.
Do you think so now that you hear that, does that make any sense to you?
No.
It's just all the way around. It's just a bad one.
Let me just for fun look up the contracts of these two guys. I think Boozer makes more than he should. Well, and Boozer, Bargnani, I know, makes more than he deserves.
I thought they were going to amnesty Boozer after this year.
Yeah, he's owed $31 million after this year.
Oof. So the Raptors are going to go get Carlos Boozer, and they have Rudy Gay. They're just going to have these guys that are, like, really good on a fantasy team.
Bargnani is owed $21 million after this. Yeah, I know. Like, that Rudy Gay trade was so weird. Like, first of all, Denver is just shut down as a result of it. Like, what's up with that?
Yeah.
Or, excuse me, Memphis. Why did I say Denver? Memphis is just shut down as a result of the Rudy Gay trade. Like,
I have to admit that I thought, as soon as you said Denver shut down, the first thing I thought of was the Grizzlies. I don't know why I did that. That's, like, the worst. What's wrong with me? This is This is the problem with education these days, you know?
We're too educated, that's our problem?
Yep, way too educated. Our minds are rolling.
Boom. But, yeah, no, they obviously was a long-term salary dump for Memphis to get rid of Rudy Gay.
Right.
But at the same time, we talked about John Hollinger on here before as, you know, being a stat nerd. Like, he kind of knows, like, what he's talking about for the most part. And getting rid of a volume shooter like Rudy Gay, who makes their offense worse. And I believe they were 28th in offensive efficiency when they made the trade.
Right.
Take shots away from Rudy Gay and give shots to other guys who are more capable of shooting. But apparently Lionel Hollins is just kind of like, fuck it. Like, I don't want to coach this team without Rudy
Gay. Yeah. No, he ripped on John Hollinger, too. That was funny. So, what was weird to me was after John Hollinger got, after that trade, Adrian Wojnarowski, he destroyed the trade.
And then
Yeah, he destroyed the trade, saying how dumb it was, and then he ripped on Hollinger in the process.
Oh, wow.
And I was pretty surprised by that. I didn't expect that. So, I guess we'll have to wait and see. I thought it was a pretty good one, because I think that Rudy Gay's great. He's good, but I didn't realize how much his contract is going up in the next 2 years.
Yeah, it's huge, and I think it was one of those things at the time where, like, when you first hear it, you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense, and then you kind of, like, think about it, you're like, is Rudy Gay really worth, like, $91 million or whatever the total value was?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, over the next, 2 years after this? Yeah, it's so he's almost $18 million next year and almost $20 million the year after.
Ugh.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it turns out I just would stop playing. I think I just you know, pack it up. I'd be like if Andre Blatch ever got Andre Blatch did get a big contract. I would be exactly like Andre Blatch. I just get fat and yell at everyone.
I love Andre Blatch. He's our this generation's Eddie Curry.
Oh my God, Eddie Curry. You know, it's just how pissed would I would be so pissed if I was watching Andre Blatch right now and I was a Wizards fan, and then he's just like, oh, I was hated on. It's like, no, you were just a dickhead. That's it.
When we were in Brooklyn this year, I remember, like, leaning to Chris or at the game when we saw him. I was like, who's that fat guy warming up?
He's a big boy. I love it.
Not small. Back to the Bargnani thing. I don't know why either team would make that trade, but Andrea Bargnani would give Tom Thibodeau a heart attack.
Oh, it'd be hilarious. I think you do. That's why I'm for it. I think it's just... it just makes no sense for Toronto. I think it'd be really funny to watch. Oh, man. For some reason, I thought Jared Bayless was still in Toronto, and that would have been really funny if Jared Bayless and Carlos Boozer were on the same team. Because they look like exactly alike, except about a foot different.
But Bayless is mini-me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have the exact same look. But, yeah, I just think it would be really funny to watch. And then Bargnani, yeah, he would drive Thibodeau crazy. I think that's the dumbest trade rumor I've ever heard. That better not happen, actually. I was just being sarcastic. That'd be horrible.
That'd just be bananas.
That would be too much. I wouldn't be able to tolerate it. I really hate to go here because I know we don't like going here, but can we talk about the Lakers?
Depending on what you want to talk about.
Do you think this is going to be the vindication of Pau Gasol, considering he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, and most likely within those 6 to 8 weeks, his team's going to completely implode without him?
I like where you took that.
Because
yes,
they got destroyed tonight by the Celtics.
That was kind of I saw a little bit of the second half of that one. That was pretty good.
I didn't watch it. I had it on the background, and I was just like, this is a disaster.
Like, I enjoyed it. I keep posing the question to Twitter.
Okay.
Is Chris Duhon the worst player in the NBA?
Oh, my God. There's so many Duke. How is Kyrie Irving so good when you look at, like, Duke point guards?
Because you know why? It's the one and done players at Duke are like the really talented ones that have no business ever going to college. Like he was one of them.
Like Corey Maggette.
No big deal. Was definitely a one and done guy at Duke. Elton Brand, no mm-hmm. big deal. It's those guys who stick around, the Duhons and Nolan Smiths of the world, who end up being horrible.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving played. He played 11 games, I think.
And it's pretty funny because it was at the very beginning of the season and then at the very end of the season. And every time you watched him at Duke, you're just like, this guy's unbelievable.
Yeah. And there was unbelievable. I still remember when people were talking about Derek Williams maybe should have been number one. That was really funny. But yeah, back to Chris Duhon. I don't watch him play much. I kind of feel bad, like, criticizing. But I don't know. They don't have a very good – like, you talk about the Blazers bench. The Lakers bench isn't. The only reason they're better than the Blazers bench, I would say, is just because Earl Clark kind of came out of nowhere.
That's weird.
Yeah, I actually, you know what? I take credit for that, and I told you because I ripped on him, and then the day that I ripped on him, he went off.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just kind of what happens. And in fact, I'm ripping on the Lakers right now, saying that they're going to implode without Pau Gasol, and now they probably turn it around, and I'm just going to kick myself for that.
They're going to trade for Samuel Dalembert, and he's going to be their new big guy.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I just think it's really funny that everyone's been ripping on Pau Gasol so much, and he's gotten so much of the heat, where it's just like, you guys have been dangling him in trades. You actually traded him to Houston, and it got voided. And so, obviously, he's going to be in a funk. And then everyone else is just imploding around him, and somehow it's all his fault.
It's unbelievable. There's few real Lakers fans out there, out here in L.A., but they don't disparage Gasol, at least from what I can gather. But
no.
The voice of the knuckleheads is always the loudest voice, and for some reason they hate Pau Gasol.
Yeah, it's just the turning into a world of Stephen A. Smiths and Skip Bayless's, man.
Yeah, those guys. Give genuine bozos like us a bad name.
Unbelievable. Bunch of dicks.
Yeah, that's... now I'm on the Lakers on-off page. You know who fifth in minutes for the Lakers is this year?
Who?
Anton Jameson.
Oh my god. Really?
It's because Ash has been injured so much. Kobe's played, obviously.
Yeah. This is bad.
This is no good. Dwight Powell followed by Anton.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's a mess right there.
That's pretty rough. Duhon's
played the seventh most
minutes. So I don't understand why they're not talking about trading Dwight Howard, to be honest. I just don't get that.
I completely agree with you. Like, they have no financial commitment to him after this year. Like, if you can trade him and get anything for him, like, I don't really know what they're planning on doing, because if they take this team that they have currently into the playoffs somehow,
mm-hmm.
they'll play San Antonio or OKC in the first round, and that's a four-game series. Like,
man.
That's OKC. That was a four-game series last year, right, when they beat the Lakers?
I think so, but I can't remember. It would be a disaster. I don't think they make the playoffs right now. I just think that there's too many things wrong. And what's funny about it is that all this shit is going on, you know, between them, or between the star players like Dwight Howard and Kobe, and they don't talk about it. They just go through the press, and so it's not gonna end well. It's gonna be funny. I love it. So keep it going, guys. I'm good with that.
That's actually what's kind of funny. What I do talk about with like my Lakers fan coworkers, who for the most part are fairly rational, but they're like, yeah, Dwight Howard is blah blah blah, and it's like, yeah, you're right, but Kobe Bryant's also a machine. Like,
yeah,
you know, he's saying for Dwight to play hurt, but you know, there's no one's wired like Kobe Bryant in the NBA. Like,
Kobe Bryant's a nut.
Is that insane?
Kobe Bryant is vicious. I used to hate him for it. Now I kind of appreciate it, just because everyone's so buddy buddy now. Like, Dwight Howard is just like, he doesn't want to get dirty, you know. I say that as, of course, like, he's wearing like all these protective gear now because people are trying to rip off his arms. I don't know why I just said that. But you know what I mean. Like, he doesn't challenge. He should be. He's the biggest guy on the team, and he's the best player. He should be challenging Kobe Bryant and being like, hey, screw you, man.
He should be their best player.
Yes. Yes.
He should be their best player, but he's not. And that, I think, is a problem. And I don't know if Kobe. I think Kobe realizes that Dwight should probably be challenging him for the best player, because I don't think Kobe would ever lay down and say Dwight's the best player, but mm-hmm. I think Kobe realizes that Dwight should be challenging him to be the best player on the team, and he's obviously not.
Yeah. I think you trade Dwight Howard, because Houston wants him really bad, remember that? And then Houston's got some young people, and you can get Royce White back in the deal, you know?
Boom, your boy Royce White.
I love him.
Comes full circle every time.
Okay, that was one thing I forgot to bring up. I was going to bring it up in the middle, and now we're winding down, but I want to mention this. Did you read the article Chuck Klosterman wrote about Royce White?
Absolutely not.
This was amazing. Unbelievable. At times he sounds like he's really smart, and other times you're just like, this guy's the biggest idiot in the world.
Right.
At one point, he didn't compare himself to Gandhi, but he basically said, people who took a stand before they weren't popular. You know, Gandhi and Martin Luther King. It's like, okay, let's just pump the brakes here for a second. You're getting paid $3 million a year to play basketball. And you're complaining. And then he went on to say that he thinks that everyone in the country basically has a mental disorder.
Oh.
Anyone who smokes too much pot, anyone who drinks too much, anyone who's anxious. And that right there, that describes like everyone I know.
It's pretty much our entire friend group.
Yep. So I don't know what he would not like hanging out. That's for sure.
Oh my!
Yeah, just we'll take him to Fox and the Hounds. Take him to Fox and the Hounds and get real shit hammered drunk and see what he thinks.
Well, I love it. That's a great place. I think you of all people, I think had the best views on Royce White, because I always expected you to be a staunch defender of his, which you were at first coming into the draft. But you very rationally that came to the conclusion that he's a knucklehead.
Well,
I didn't think we were going to say that, but you're right. He was. He was being a dumbass the whole time.
I'm okay with people who have like issues, and he clearly has. He has issues, and that's fine. And so if somebody, and I don't agree with people trying to force somebody into a box and saying like, you have to do this. We're paying you. And granted, he's getting paid a lot, you know. But at the same time, I understand somebody wanting to stand up for themselves and do something about it, you know. I'm cool with that. My issue is that they clearly had been making an effort, and they let him take buses to games, and then he wouldn't report to the D-League assignment.
Yeah.
And it's just, it came to a point, it's like, you're just fighting just to fight. Like, you're going to want them to pay you just to do nothing. That's what it seems like, and I don't know if he's coming back or not. They said he was going to come back soon, and then all of a sudden it just went dark.
I just really want to see him play, because
he's so good. That's what's so enraging about it, is he's so good.
The stats he put up in college, like the type of player he was, he should have been probably a top five pick, if not top five, top ten.
Totally. Like, he's
just that kind of talented.
I would have said top five for sure, just because he's so big, but he's so versatile. He's like Lamar Odom in a way, like when Lamar Odom's playing well, you know?
Yeah, because he's got the very natural scoring ability, but can also rebound and pass the ball, you know, for a big guy. Like,
yeah. Yeah, he's got that versatility. He's not going to be the number one guy, but he could be like the glue guy, and then he's just screwing it up, and it pisses me off. That's why I got angry, you know? But anyway.
Speaking of knuckleheads, I know we're going pretty long here. I want to bring it full circle. Back to episode one.
Oh, please.
So, there was a guy that we talked about, one of our favorites.
Shit.
Mr. Michael Beasley.
Oh, God. Okay.
We were both pretty bold on his outlooks. for the season. I think you thought you could lead the league in scoring or something like that.
I said there was a 14% chance he'd lead the league in scoring. I don't know where 14% came from, but I did it. And I said it. And then as soon as I said it, but later on I was like, what did I say? Why did I do that?
We were drunk off of vodka and homemade Sprite that night, so it's okay.
That was actually our only live one. We're going to do another live one.
That's a good point. We got to do another one of those. Real quickly, though, I believe I talked about him being a great fantasy ad for some of my fantasy teams, which he hasn't been. Anyway, because last week or the week before, or however long ago it was, they had that game against the Lakers where he scored 27 points.
Oh, heck yeah.
And then, like, two games later, he followed up with 24 and a loss to the Warriors. But, those are the only two games I'm looking at his game. Like, he is just so naturally gifted.
Yeah,
when he scores the basketball, it looks like he's doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, he can just do it whenever. And it just drives me nuts watching him have games like that. He followed up the Lakers game against going to Dallas and going 2 of 13, scoring 4 points. The bounce back against the Warriors for 24 points. He didn't have that great of a game. He shot too many threes, but I remember I was watching that game, and he played great in terms of just, like, scoring. Next game, 2 of 7, 6 points. It's like, what the hell is wrong with this guy that can't just be the sixth man, like, energy off the bench, just scoring guy? It just drives me bananas.
Yeah, I don't get it. He was so promising coming out of college, too. I would have thought for sure he's an all-star.
Yeah.
But whatever. I mean, I guess that happens from time to time in the NBA,
I mean, I was like, why would the Bulls take Rose when someone like Beasley's on the board, you know? Like,
well, the funny thing, that was a real discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Serious discussion.
Because Pat Riley was notoriously scouting him at Kansas State games, so
mm-hmm.
he ended up getting him with the number 2 pick, which is kind of funny, thinking back of Miami Heat drafting number 2 in the draft not too long ago.
Yeah, no, they got rid of him right when they got all the big three, huh?
Yeah, they literally gave him away to Minnesota.
Oh, to our boy. I forgot about that. Our boy, he was talking about, he's like, wow, this is going to be a great fresh start for him because he was smoking too much marijuana in Miami. It's just like, you can't say that, man. Like, that was never proven, and you're talking about somebody else's personal life. Like, oh, God. I love him.
That's amazing.
Okay. I'm going to say this one thing really quick about Minnesota.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that people aren't giving David Kahn any credit because they've had injuries this year, and that sucks, you know, that all this stuff has happened to them and, you know, whatever. But I feel like some people were starting to give him credit because of some of the pickups he made. He was not the one who went out and got Andre Kirilenko. That was Rick Adelman really wanting, right, pushing for that. The one that Kahn wanted was B-Roy.
Yeah.
So let's not forget this.
Your boy, B-Roy.
You know I'm going to talk about him next time.
Okay, well, I'll just save it for... We don't nearly have enough time for you to talk about him now.
No, we don't at all. We're at 38 minutes. But you know what? I've been holding back because DK was telling me that I talk about B-Roy too much, and I haven't talked about B-Roy for like 2 months.
Right. Our legal department has kind of...
He put the kibosh on it. He said I couldn't talk about him anymore. I said, fine, I'm not going to do it. But now, it's been 2 months now, and there's all these stories that are coming out, and I'm getting kind of crazy, and Greg Oden's back in the news. We can just go back there, and no one's going to listen to the show, and then you can make fun of me. It'll be a live show. You can slap me. We'll drink Fireball. It'll be fun.
Our next live show will be all Brandon Roy, Greg Oden devoted. I'm in.
Yeah. Well, we got to think about, those will be some topics. We need other ones, too, because, actually, no one wants to hear me talking about that for half an hour. I'll start crying. Actually, maybe somebody will want to listen to that. That'd be good. Oh my god. All right, we are at 39 minutes.
Okay.
You have any closing thoughts or comments?
Yeah, one comment. I was just thinking about it when I mentioned Miami a second ago.
Please.
If I were to offer you to win the title this year, Miami or the Field, who are you taking?
Field.
Okay, I'm taking Miami.
Okay. You know what's going to happen is that Miami is going to have like some random guy like Rashard Lewis start blowing up. That's going to happen, isn't it? That's just bound to happen.
In a good way? Or like?
Oh, no, like in a good way. Like he's all of a sudden out of nowhere, he's going to start bombing threes and be the old Rashard Lewis.
I mean, he's the kind, they don't need him, obviously. They don't need him, period. But, like, he's a guy in a playoff game who can come in and will hit, like, four threes. And Reggie Miller will talk about how he's the greatest player, greatest role player of all time and all that crap. But that's just kind of the guy he is for that team. They don't need him to do anything, and he'll just have one game like that in the playoffs. You're right.
Wait a minute. Can I change my answer?
Yeah.
Miami. Okay.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, I hope somebody picks it up, but I don't see Oklahoma City doing it, and I don't see the Clippers doing it.
Did you see the alley-oop last night?
Which one?
From where it was off the jump ball, where Haslam tipped it to Wade, and Wade, they're in their own backcourt, and Wade chucked it all the way across the court to LeBron, who was streaking, and caught the ball in the air and laid it in.
No, I don't think I want to see it.
Look it up. It's a set play. Like, they have the play set so that right when the ball was launched, LeBron just started streaking down the sideline. Dwayne caught it, no hesitation, threw it. Like, when Dwayne threw it, LeBron was, at midcourt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, three steps, was, at the rim, and jumps and lays it in. It's one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen.
Another thing to bring up next time, just so you know, LeBron's crew, I was reading an article by Woj, I think, where he was saying that LeBron's crew isn't liking Miami all of a sudden.
Oh, what? Mav?
Well, I don't know. Who knows with Woj? What he was saying, it was a big fussy article about the lockout and stuff, of the effects of the lockout, and it's like, because LeBron tweeted that nasty thing about the Maloofs, and then he's like, you gotta wear some of this, LeBron, because you kind of created this problem, and then also his crew is all of a sudden being like, hey, we can't run things, because they, ran things in Cleveland. Like, they sat courtside as personal guests to Dan Gilbert and all this stuff, and Pat Riley just doesn't take it. He's like, no. So
it's Pat Riley's.
Yeah, he's Pat fucking Riley. What are you going to do? He's a Don, man.
God, oh. That's perfect.
All right, I rambled on there, but you got anything else there?
No. I've spoken my piece for the night.
Hey, buddy.
Yo.
Next time, we're going to talk about not Brandon Roy and Greg Oden, but we're going to talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves and David Kahn. We're going to talk about there's shit going to go down this weekend at the All-Star weekend, too.
Oh yeah.
So we gotta be on we gotta be ready for that.
Okay.
Cool, buddy. Were you ready? Do you want me to send you out? Want me to send you out on Tegan and Sarah?
Please do.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
That's good.
Later. Overhead. It's not just